You're a really big nerd, Mark.
Am I?
Apparently.
Now presenting the Webcomic Beacon Newscast.
Hello and welcome to episode 161 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is the newscast. Alex and Roscott are not here with us this week for whatever reason, but we are still going to be plugging away and trying to do this newscast weekly. They may not be always available every single week, but I will at least try to do it. There is a bit of news to go through this week, but it'll probably be a shorter podcast, and you know, that's all right. With me, I'm of course Fess of too many things to list.com, and of course at Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. We do have Mark Savory of autumnlake.com with us. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Well, hello there.
And we also have Eric, aka Dromos, of exiern.com, Exern, and a few other websites, who is with us on the horn today, as well as, of course, he provides much of the news that we go over on the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fess, and it's not the length of the podcast, but how you use it that matters, right?
Absolutely. Anyway, we do have a little bit of news to go over, and the first off is, do you know the Harvey Awards? They're opening nominations right now. So,
yeah, the Harvey Awards are accepting nominations for comics, and you can put it in here. I mean, the problem with the Harvey Awards is they are really political. You know, it's like the Oscars and that sort of thing. So you can put in your nomination, but you know it's going to be DC, Marvel, and then a few of the big names in webcomics. So, you know, we'll see. The webcomics that are really on fire, you'll see Axe Cop and Kate Beaton and maybe something else like that. But it's just going to be the ones that can really lobby for it.
I suppose. There's a lot of politics and...
Yeah, I mean, last year, the Harvey Awards, their digital comic category, had two comics that weren't on the web, that had been pulled by from the web. So it's... You know, it was sort of, all right, that's, you know, High Moon's a great comic, but it wasn't a digital comic. It had been pulled. You know, so, I don't know. But
bastards!
You can nominate.
As good as nominating will do. But
I don't know, Mark, do you like the awards?
Well, I don't really follow them. I mean, They're really more for traditional print than anything else. And when you get, you know, you start introducing digital comics, I guess, then the regular guys don't like that so much. it does seem more like it's geared towards regular comics, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know that it even needs a digital component, really, does it? I mean, it's nice. It's like an Eisner. It's nice, but... Which is super nice. Actually, an Eisner would be super nice.
Right.
Harvey would be nice, but they're really geared more towards the old-fashioned comics, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that was brought up about these awards is while the awards are okay, you know, they are really golden when it comes to con appearances. When you say, I have a Harvey Award or I have an Eisner Award, all of a sudden you get free tables, you get to have your own panel, you know, and if you're going to any cons, you're going to save thousands of dollars of years not having to shell out for tables and stuff. So
see, I would have gone more with the respect of my peers and all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought of a break of tables or discounts.
No. At the Who cares con. About my peers? I want the Harvey Award discount card. That's what I want.
Sadly, I would never win anything like that, but
because you don't put it out there, Mark. We've been over this.
I wouldn't say no to one, but I mean, who would? Who would say no to a Harvey Award or an Eisner?
Yeah.
I'd like to have an Oscar and an Emmy too. Not so much a Juno Award, or a Tony. But I wouldn't mind an Emmy. I'd settle for an Emmy if she was cute. But anyway.
No Golden Globe? All right.
Well, if it was made of real gold, I wouldn't mind.
I'll settle for a Peabody.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We're a newscast. We're up for Pulitzers, right?
Maybe.
What about a Sherman? You might get a Peabody. What about a Sherman? You just kind of...
The Wayback Machine.
All right. Let's see here. A little bit more news that. oh, yes, we only have. Oh, okay. I guess, well, we have a lot less news than I thought. But Apple, we can't go a week without talking about something that Apple's doing. Apple's new policy forcing all purchases to go through App Store raises worries of censorship and continuing business models of Comixology.
Yeah, I mean, yet again, the reason we're always talking about Apple is that Apple is really the darling of the print comic industry right now. And what Apple has done in the last week is they've noticed that the Kindle app is selling more books than their own app. Mm. And so they're saying, okay, wait a minute, guys, you got to give us 30%.
Yeah. I don't think Amazon's going to go along with that.
Yeah.
Or Barnes & Noble with the Nook, and there are several other e-readers. And I just don't see those companies going along with that. They're actually in direct competition with Apple, which may be a factor.
Oh, absolutely.
Amazon selling its MP3s is a rival to iTunes, in a way. It's really no wonder. It's probably the same sort of peak that makes Apple sort of piss on Adobe all the time.
Yeah.
Not want to play nice.
Why don't they get over that? I mean, it was like in the 90s. Move on.
I think they just figure they've got a captive audience and they can make more money by selling their own crap to them than
possibly.
Yeah.
Working nice with Macrovision or whoever, or Amazon or whoever. That seems to be the Apple corporate way is just you got to play by our rules or nobody's.
I mean, it's sort of interesting that Apple is doing a history repeat of the early 80s. They release the superior system and then they decide it's going to be a closed system and no one can put anything on it, and so everyone migrates to something else.
That's what kind of did them that really kicked them in the nads there.
Because
nobody could write programs. Nobody could build software to work on an Apple unless they were approved or whatever. And that
really didn't help them.
Now they have a different reputation, though. They're much more popular now than I think they were back then.
True, but Amazon's Kindle is also very popular. And that's one of the things is that Amazon did the smart thing and said, you don't need a Kindle. Here, download this app, and you can have the same access. And it's like, that's genius. But, that's going to affect things. And it's like, you know what? If Kindle came out with, like, say, a tablet, thing, or Amazon came out with a tablet-like thing, I don't know. I'm not sold on the tablet idea because, I look at the prices, like, I could buy a laptop for that, and I could do a whole lot more with that. Now, if you give me like a Cintiq / tablet sort of thing, where I could draw on it and such, I could be highly encouraged. I could be highly encouraged to purchase that, but not just a screen that's just as expensive as a laptop that doesn't do as much,
Now, full disclosure, I don't have any Apple products. I don't have an iPad. Yeah. I don't have an iPod. I don't have a Mac. I don't have any of that stuff. So I've never really worked with those things. So maybe they're super duper awesome. I just don't know.
They're nice until you want to do something that they didn't think you were going to do with it. I mean,
or something you're not allowed to do.
Yeah, I mean, I have an iPhone and it's nice, but when I first got it, I'm like, okay, well, I got 8 gigs on here, so I'm going to store some files on here. Nope, can't. And then I'm like, well, okay, I'll read some books on here. Nope, can't. And it's one of these things that you have to do what they thought you were going to do with it, and there's no variation. But, I mean...
See, that keeps me from buying Apple products. That's the sort of thing that makes me say, you know what? No.
But I mean, back to the comics. The I mean, this doesn't really affect Comixology. I mean, this is going to be a bloody war between Amazon, Borders, and Apple. But I mean, it doesn't affect Comixology because they sell everything through Apple. So that's not the problem. Mm. The problem is everyone's worried, well, Apple has this sort of censorship thing going on.
Yep.
And they're really worried that they're gonna, you know, if you have to sell it through Apple, Apple's gonna start censoring comics. Which awesome. I mean, in a way they already do, but yeah. That was the big concern on that one.
It seems to me that Amazon, if Apple would play nice with them, Amazon would play nice with Apple. But
oh sure.
Amazon sells more Kindles, I would think, to a broader audience than just Mac users or Apple yeah. fans.
Absolutely a broader audience. I do want to mention real quick, because we didn't mention this earlier, this article, that this topic that we're discussing, and the article can be found at Bleeding Cool at bleedingcool.com. That is, of course, where we found this, giving credit where credit is due.
Too true.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine if they could work it out with Apple, fine, because they'll sell more books that way. But I just don't see them forking over 30% of titles.
Yeah,
titles. It just doesn't make sense for Amazon to do that.
Yeah, the problem is they had worked it out fine, and then Apple decided they didn't like the work how it worked out.
Yeah,
and
makes more Apple, sense to drop the Apple app then.
Yeah, and. I mean, if we go back to Adobe, Apple's not really known for letting things go. I mean, they don't say, "Yeah, that didn't work out. We'll try a different strategy." That's not their style.
Now, here's an interesting question. Do you think that that's mostly Steve Jobs doing that, or is that?
No, he's on vacation right now. Remember?
Well, that's the point. I mean, all that stuff with Adobe and everything, that was under his watch, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now that he may not come back as president of the company, which that's been talked about
for years,
do you think that might change? Might they become more open without him at the reins?
It would be nice, but I think it's so much a corporate philosophy. Mm. I would be really shocked if it changed. I mean, because that's Apple's thing, is the
closed system.
That's what they're selling. Yeah, I mean, there are advantages to closed system. Apple computers, you can open them up and use them immediately. You know, there's no drivers, there's no crazy stuff to deal with. It just runs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they're selling. I don't see them changing that anytime soon. But yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of like if somebody took over Lucasfilm. Yeah. From George Lucas, they're not going to release the holiday special on Blu-ray anytime soon.
Right? You know what? They just should. They just should. They should just release it, pack it up with loads of commentary and other stuff, and just charge like $50 for it new. People will buy that. You know what I mean? People will buy a legit copy with a lot of extra stuff on it, and as long as he acknowledges it, it's terrible and don't buy it. $50 if you really want it, it will sell, I swear.
Well, that's the thing. He could release the original Star Wars and make money off it.
Yeah.
Just as a standalone thing with none of that digital crap from the so-called special editions in the 90s. Oh,
right.
God, that was awful. They could just release that and say, all right, here, you want it? Fine, there it is.
Yeah. I mean, as much as this guy loves money,
you would think. And, well, Steve's the same way, you know? I mean, Steve likes his control, so it seems.
Yeah.
They both like to control their empires. And, anyway, I guess that's not much to do with comics, but...
Yeah.
it all ties in somehow. There's serendipity there. I don't know.
All right. Let's see here. We are going to move on a little bit here. Let's see. We're going down. We have a couple of... We don't really have much news. So if anybody has any digital comics, web comics, sort of industry-related news, they can... things that they find, they can email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com, or if we're live in the chat today anyway, you can go ahead and post a link. Otherwise, you can also remember to follow us at webcomicbeacon on Twitter. For upcoming events, particularly when we have the next podcast, or just interesting things we happen to find that seem to be relative for people's needs in creating digital comics or web comics. And
Before we move on, did you guys see the interview with Ryan North of Dinosaur Comics?
No.
He did an interview. There was not much new to webcomickers, but he did an interview talking about the future of webcomics and that sort of thing, and this was on Comics Mix, interview with Ryan North of Dinosaur Comics, and it has the sound and feel of someone asking, what are these webcomic things? you know, and so it was a good sort of primer to how this all started, and they obviously covered, you know, the fact that Dinosaur Comics is the same image over and over again. Talked a little bit about Project Wonderful and that sort of thing. It was a generally good interview, but there was nothing particularly groundbreaking there, which, you know, we're always and they talked about Machine of Death. And that sort of thing. So for the regular webcomicer, it was sort of new stuff. And the only thing that I found really interesting is they asked Ryan North, what new things are you working on these days? And he said, nothing. He said, Dinosaur Comics and Project Wonderful.
About George Lucas.
Takes everything. he said it took up all his time. But it's sort of sad because all the really interesting developments in webcomics, Project Wonderful, Oh No Robot, those all came from Ryan North. I mean, he had these really great ideas.
And Comic Space, too. Which is kind of gone down in flames, I think. Is anybody still using Comic Space?
No.
I don't know.
Hosting is a good way to lose money in comics nowadays. it was really big back in the 90s when hosting was so expensive, but, you know, what can you offer if you're a comic host nowadays?
Free space is free space. That's why I'm really happy to that. I've always had free space.
Yeah.
For my webcomics with Zephyr.net, and of course the Webcomic Beacon is hosted on Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Spider Forest offers hosting. That's good too.
And there's some good hosting and free space. And the thing is, you have to be like the Rampage Network and offer a little bit more than just free space. That's what a lot of people offer is free space, and then they say, oh, we're going to put all these ads on here. And you do the math, and you're like, if I put in my own ads, it's cheaper, or I get more money.
Still, the ads do help pay for the space, of course. And
It's not unfair, but you could say, I could make more money on my own.
Yeah, one ad is not a big deal, honestly. Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. let's see here, but we do got. We're gonna bring in Zoe. Zoe Jennifer, Joey. I don't know what her name. Hang on, let me just add her and ask her, what is your name? hello, Zoe.
Zoe Jennifer Kirk. Yeah, hello, it is Zoe. It's Zoe Jennifer Kirk Robbins.
All right, I wasn't sure if I should say the whole thing or not.
it's only her name.
Welcome to the show.
Way to go, most people don't.
Well, some people don't like their full name expressed online or whatever, and it's like I know a couple of people that go by a certain name in particular because they don't want to use their full name.
Okay.
But we're here with Zoe to talk about the 2010 Webcomic List Awards, which is kind of inspired by the Webcomic Choice Awards. Is that true?
The Web Cartoonist Choice Awards.
Yes.
Yeah, it disappeared, so I think it was Luke Searle and Wendy Wood decided it was a good idea to take over.
Well, already.
And we've kept a lot of what they did, such as the artwork for the awards ceremony and things like that, so it's it's like a spiritual successor.
Okay.
And this is the second year. It's going quite well.
All right, and you got some winners for us, don't you?
I certainly do. I've got the list of winners here if you'd like me to go through them.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we've got several categories, best black and white art, best color art, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't mind, I'll just read through them.
Go right ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, first up, we have best black and white art, which went to the abominable Charles Christopher And that one was a really, really difficult ceremony, list to judge, because the artwork standard for black and white art is amazing this year. So that one came out as a bit of a surprise, because I for a long time, I thought it was going to be Lackadaisy that came through. But it was Abominable Charles Christopher.
Those are two very hard to pick, you know, when you're looking at that kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it was very difficult. And then there was Best Color Art, which went to Dresden Kodak. And I think there wasn't really much of a chance of anyone else getting in with that one, because the standard they've had on Dresden Kodak this year has been just superb. And then we had Best Non-Traditional Art, which went to Romantically Apocalyptic. It's not a one I know, so I can't really comment on that one.
It's a crazy, crazy comic. Photo comic with digital painting over the top. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's not supposed to make sense. So,
mission accomplished.
It's a very visually engaging comic. Not a surprise that one.
Cool. Then next up we had Best Writing, which went to XKCD.
Of course.
Yeah, there's not much you can say to that one.
It's good.
The best long form award went to the Abominable Charles Christopher once again. And that one was another one that was quite well contested. Best Gag a Day, that one went to Bug. Does anyone read Bug?
Bug, yeah, we had him on the show.
Yeah, I thought I recognized it from the podcast. It's not
awesome,
one I read.
But. Awesome comic. It's an awesome comic.
Okay, next up we had Best Character. That one was quite contested, but it went to Cleopatra from Cleopatra in Space.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I have to say, I'm surprised that one didn't turn up in one of the Best Artwork Awards, because it looked pretty good to me.
It is, until you compare it to Lackadaisy Cats or Abominable Charles Christopher. It is very good art, but, you know, those two have turned up to 11 on there, so.
Yeah.
Oh, it is amazing. Best New Comic went to Scenes from a Multiverse. It's not one I read, but I'm not really up on new comics this year. I seem to have fallen away from that. Do any of you read this?
No, Scenes from a Multiverse is new to me.
I think I've heard of it, but I haven't.
I've heard of it.
The only way I find new web comics, honestly, are through Project Wonderful ads. I say, oh, hey, that looks interesting, and then...
You just want people to rent your Project Wonderful.
Well, there is that. I mean, you can... If you go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise, there are many opportunities for you to, you know, get the word out on your comic, including sponsoring individual episodes, including newscasts, tropecasts, and, of course, the core programming. More information at webcomicbeacon.com/advertise.
It's really awesome.
Clever way of slipping that in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome way to get the word out about your comic, it says here.
Yep, it's true. Okay, and finally, there was the award for Best Comic, which went to Red's Planet. And I was quite happy to draw that particular award, so I was quite happy with that one.
I don't know. I was following Red's Planet, and I took it off my bookmarks. It wasn't interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's like they showed some artwork of what it's going to eventually be, but it's taking too long to get where it's just all this setup, and it's like... You're taking
forever.
Way too long. I'm not interested. It looks like this girl's supposed to be in space with aliens and such. You're not there. You're taking too long to get there. It's an entirely different comic right now, and then I think it's starting to. It's like, sorry, you lost me. It may be good, but you're updating one day a week.
It's one of the real problems. I mean, I think I would agree that Red's Planet is the best comic. I don't know if it's the best web comic, simply because to make a really good web comic, you have to be so fast to keep the short attention span of Fess there and the rest of the audience.
it's the fact that what it's supposed to be, isn't there yet. This is when you already want to have all this set up on the site and then be at the point what you're trying to tell the story as.
So they picked the wrong starting point.
Yeah, they should have had the first, whatever they have up now, already up before they even advertised it or whatever, you know. I start seeing it now, it's like, But, of course, that is one of the things with webcomics. You know, you got to be careful with that.
Definitely.
It is very good.
Agree
with... Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Oh. Hello.
Uh-oh, we might have lost some people here.
I'm still here.
So
yeah, I'm still here.
Are there any other, are there more winners yet to go through?
Nope. Those were the winners.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow, glad Bug won.
So that is of course, from people of the webcomic list forums, basically. Anyone and everyone that has that's from the forums can vote, I'm guessing, and nominate.
It's actually an industry award now. It starts with the webcomic list awards, but anyone who is involved in comics, webcomics in any way, whether it's a creator, a reader, a creator, a reviewer, or whatever, then they have the right to put in their nominations.
But it's still the community voting on it. It's not like it's not a peer given award. It's a community thing, right?
Well,
don't you have judges at the end?
We do. There have been some amazing judges this year, not just webcomic judges, but people from regular print comics as well. We had Kurt Hathaway and David Bishop from 2000 AD and people like that. So it's been quite wide this year, and the judging standard's been pretty high.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So it's community nominated, but it's judge on the final level, as I understand
yeah.
it, right?
Okay.
It collates down to a nomination shortlist, and then the judges vote on the shortlist.
Okay.
And that was specifically to sort of avoid the popularity flame war sort of thing that plagued
exactly.
it before. Yeah.
All right.
Yep, that's it exactly.
Well, Zoe, thanks for coming on the show. We got a few more tidbits to go through before we move on to, well, the next podcast, really, in about 10 minutes here. But thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And, of course, you can see Zoe, one of Zoe's comics at all around the house, I think. All around.
Is it all over the house?
All over the house.
House or Knob T Mouse?
Knob T Mouse or all over the house or all around the house. We'll get those links in the chat room. All right, we have a couple of tidbits here, and I'm trying to find the browser. Where's the browser? Here we go. Let's see. Axe Cop. For those who read... Eric, you're very loud. Where do you live that there's, like, people everywhere?
For YouTube?
Now it sounds like they're following you.
Okay, there we go. Sorry, I was at a coffee house. You said, "Hey, do you want to be on?" And I'm like,
"Oh,
okay,
you're in
I'll
a coffee
on.
House." Okay. Alrighty. All right.
Now we're in a quieter area.
Okay. We have a couple of tidbits to go through before we finish this up. For those who read Axe Cop, which had a really cool crossover with. Dr. McNinja, like a few months ago, somebody made a fan trailer for a movie. So it's this live action fan trailer. You can find it on Vimeo, but it was first seen at Boing Boing, and I'm going to post a link to that. Not really much to go over other than it's awesome.
It is really, really well done. I mean, this is not your standard. Kind of, you know, let's get my college friends together and make a movie.
Yeah, the Bruce Campbell-y.
Yeah. I mean, they had actors who really looked like the characters. They had good animation, music. It was really professionally put together, which is sort of the story of Axe Cop. I mean,
right.
It's the stupidest, silliest thing you can think of done really professionally.
Yeah. It's a bit like that... That promo thing that's been going around about the lazy teen superheroes.
Oh man, yeah, that one is amazing. Although the actors are not that great, but
yeah, the acting's a bit spotty, but it looks great.
Yeah,
this looks pretty good.
Yeah,
Axe Cop thing actually looks really pretty good. So it was. It,
and it, I mean, for what it is, it's good acting in it as well. I mean, it's well done, but it's still Axe Cop, so don't expect the meaning of life from it. That's not the point.
There you go.
And the last bit of news that we have to go over is this was we mentioned a little bit of this last week on the Webcomic Beacon about the Daily Cartoonist. and that some people in particular couldn't be posting anymore. But apparently, the Daily Cartoonist is changing what they're doing, and I don't know if it's for the best. Eric?
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing is they've decided to stop all comments.
Mm.
So there's going to be no comments. It's just going to be news articles. They're just going to a news format with no community, and they're going to hook it up to Twitter and Facebook and other things and have the community on there. Mm. And
not even a forum or anything?
Nothing.
Huh. No. I this is bad.
And
well,
but I mean,
it takes the guy forever to have to police that stuff. You can't really blame Alan for not wanting to dig around with.
No. You want people on your site. You want that is where you want comments, where you want discussion is on your site, not at Facebook, not at Twitter. Sometimes you have no choice but to go where the people are. But if you can have them on your site, that is traffic for your site. That is interaction on your site. That's where you want people. You don't make money off of Twitter. You don't make money off of Facebook.
But here's the thing, Fess. This doesn't make money for him, and
ads.
Really, it's self-supporting, but it's not his job. And quite frankly, keeping Scott Kurtz on a leash is more than a full-time job from one person. I mean, it literally would take five people to do that. And you throw in Ted Rall, who is another hothead. You get those two on a list. Basically, anytime any news article isn't about them and how great they are, they say, "Well, that's awful."
There's not as interesting.
What Alan was saying was that when there is an article and these guys post on there, then everybody goes to read the comments, and then it becomes a very negative thing and a flamey thing, and he just doesn't have time to horse around with that. So
I would think
a forum might be a better way to go, and then
maybe
if you have somebody who's persnickety, you just ban them. I mean,
yeah,
it seemed like less hassle.
I think the first move they made was much better than the long-term thing. I mean, frankly, just ban Scott Kurtz and Ted Rall and a few of the other firebrands. Say, look, you guys can't come on here if you're going to act like this. And then you would have a functioning forum.
I don't know.
It's surprising to me. Like, you know, couldn't you say, look, if you want to post on my site, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, look. You know, Scott, whoever, let's just say X. Let's call X Scott because, well.
Okay.
It's like, well, Scott, you know, why are you being a dick?
Given X
if you want to post on my site, great. If you want to post on my site, great. But don't be a dick about it. And don't start these stupid flame wars because I don't have time to deal with that. And I'll just ban you. And
I don't see why he has to deal with it. I honestly think that I say just go, let it go. If you have, I mean, if comments can be self, they can be. Self-policing, and sometimes you may be able to trust a couple of people that wouldn't mind policing comments for you. There are people out there. I mean, I don't when the co-host Zoe says that he's just quartered his traffic, he's quartered his av revenue. That he has ads on there that they're not going to be that good because the traffic is not going to be there. Honestly,
well,
the traffic I'm going to say is it's going to go down by like 80% now, you know?
Well, I mean, Alan has generated a lot of goodwill. I'm sure that there's somebody that could be trusted to police those.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what he needed, I'm certain there's somebody out there that, you know, could be trusted with that duty and let him get on with gathering news and living his life.
Yeah, Mark, but Mark, let's assume you're picked for that job. And you're on there and you have to delete one of Scott Kurtz's comments.
Works for me.
Do you think he's going to take that lying down? Do you think he's going to say, oh, yeah, I was a little out of line. I guess I'll just. No. He will make a bigger fuss out of it.
Give me all that traffic, honestly. Give me all that traffic.
What you do is you just have the guy. You just moderate them. It's like
the
comments have to be moderated, and I don't know if you can tailor that to a particular user, which would be ideal. And you could say, "Oh, I've got an email. Let me go check the comment thread. Ah, this one is from Scott X, and he's kind of being a dick." So I'll say, just send him the form letter. Just send him the blurb, you know. Yeah. Sorry.
I think it'd be different.
We had to pull it for X reasons, so try again.
I think and it'd then, be different if Alan was the instigator, but it's not. It's just in the comments.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the problem is it was giving the Daily Cartoonist a bad rep.
Really?
I mean, and everyone was saying, yeah, we'll go to the Daily Cartoonist to watch these people beat up on each other. and while, yes, that is traffic, that's not the traffic you want.
That's not what he wants to be known for.
Yeah.
That's not what he wants to cite.
It's not your brand, and it hurts you when you try to do other endeavors. So there is a point of defending your brand.
I suppose.
And if you've got these hotheads just destroying your brand, you got to do something about it. Now, I think moderation would have been better.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would have, and frankly, I thought the first move of just banning people who are causing too much trouble, you know, saying, okay, you got to time out for, you know, so many months, and then you can come back.
I mean, you have to say, no matter whether you like them or not, Scott, Ted, guys like that, you know, they're the big dogs for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they you know, certainly have things to say, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they shouldn't be listened to. So I think, you know, maybe give them a little time out. Sorry, you're in abeyance for a few, few weeks if you're going to be a dick. You know, if you're not going to be a dick, great, come on back. But if you're going to be a dick, you know.
Yeah, and we've all seen well-run forums, and they all come from that sort of moderation of, you know, look, it's nothing against you. Things got too hot. We're gonna take you out of play for a little bit. You're going to calm down. You're going to come back, and you're going to behave better.
You're going to play nice. I guess I get that, and that's fine. But, you know, I guess, you know, there's the Daily Cartoonist, and then here's stuff. Oh, that's just Kurtz. That's him. You know, I attribute differently. It's like, I don't blame the source. I blame who's saying actually what. People speak for themselves online. People don't speak for other people. Even if they say they are, they speak for themselves.
But no. But if you're someone is speaking on your forum and you don't moderate it, if you just let it run, then you're giving tacit approval. Because let's assume someone even worse got on the Daily Cartoonist and started talking about neo-Nazi stuff. You know, I mean,
well, then it's unrelated.
That Scott Kurtz is the Tea Party of comic debate.
I am not saying
I see your point.
Mark, I am not saying that because that is a disservice to the Tea Party and all their.
And on that note, I think we are done for the show.
Oh, that's terrible.
this has been the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. You can check us every week. Excuse me, I'm eating a cookie. You can check us every week at webcomicbeacon.com for our newscast or core programming. Stay tuned for more information at webcomicbeacon.com/calendar for upcoming shows. For now, we are done with the newscast. I'd like to thank Mark and Eric for being on the show with me.
Hey!
And you can be sure to, let's see, how do we end this? Peanut butter and jelly, everybody. Peanut butter and jelly.
Tune in for more at webcomicbeacon.com.